It's one of the fears that the parents of a disabled child have. It's very real, I know from personal experience. What does your kid do after school, when school's done, when they're done with high school and they have to enter the real world? What then? Well, our next guest did something about it and said, I'm not leaving this up to chance. I'm going to help create a system so that my child has gainful employment when school is over. We're going to hear about him and his journey on today's episode of Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
Welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser, two guys who built a company 25 years ago from scratch into a multi-million dollar international business, premium skincare products, but the packaging on it is accessible to all people, inspired by Isaac's mom, who was blind from the age of 7. They did braille packaging. And since then, they've really evolved their company to something bigger than that. They have made an initiative to hire people with disabilities, which is something that really strikes a chord with me. I'm the parent of a daughter with severe disabilities. Just like you, Mike. I mean, we bonded over this. It's something that's changed both of our lives. Becoming a parent changes most people's lives anyway, but especially when you have a child with additional challenges like we do. And I am very curious today how the birth of your daughter, Rosie, impacted you, helped you find purpose, and led you to kind of make these big changes in your career and in your life.
Yeah, so my daughter, Rosemary, she was my first daughter. So my first experience of being a father was to a child with disabilities. And when you don't know anything about being a father, period, and you're thrown a whole other bag of goods, it's very impactful. But for me, I think what was the moment that kind of pushed me to really bring true purpose or self-purpose into this mix was when I finally understood what her disability was and how it was going to affect her and what her life was going to be like after school. Because I know she has so many things that she can do during school and things like that, but they call it falling off the cliff once they graduate school. What does it look like when my daughter falls off the cliff? And there were so many things out there. There's so many programs, great programs, but nothing that I thought I wanted to put my daughter into, or that was good enough for my daughter. And that's not knocking any of those programs out there. But for me, I knew that it was time for me to create that program for her. And so that's exactly what we did with Clean Logic.
I am so excited to have this conversation with you about this today, because as I mentioned, this is something that directly affects me in my life as well. My daughter, Sydney, she's 9.5 years old. She has severe cerebral palsy, brain damage. She's nonverbal. She's in a wheelchair. She's the greatest thing in the world. She's amazing. And just like your daughter, you know, expressive and so much going on. And she's such a joy for me. But I'm not going to lie. I mean, there were, especially when she was born, it scared me, because you think about, I should have been thinking about enjoying and appreciating the moment, but you can't help but think about the future and how scary it looks, especially when you have all these people telling you all the things that your daughter is not going to be able to do. Well, she might not be able to talk. She might not be able to feed herself. And I'm sitting there going like, oh my God, like how am I going to navigate life? It's really, really scary. And one of the things that you did was just decided, you know what, I'm not going to leave it up to chance. And I'm not going to leave this in anybody else's hands. I'm going to help control and build a future for my daughter so she can have a successful life and career just like any other typical kid.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for me, when I knew that my daughter was going to be disabled, it was like a whole new type of energy came through my body. And there was such a long period of time that I didn't understand what that meant, but I still had this desire to create for her and help her live literally the most independent and successful life she possibly could. And so I started to just think about, how do I make this possible? And it was just a lot of thinking and creating and ultimately coming up with a plan.
So let's start at the beginning. And first off, I appreciate you being so candid and open about this, because, you know, to people watching and listening at home, like, it's hard sometimes to talk about issues involving your kids. But the reason we're doing this, all of us, all three of us, Isaac, myself, and Mike, is because we feel this sense of purpose, as the show states, to help people and to let our journeys and our experiences help people who are going through it. May have been through it, or, you know somebody who is. And we want to genuinely, our mission here is to try to help other people. So with that being said, like, Mike, maybe let's talk about what was Rosie diagnosed with?
Yeah. So Rosie's diagnosed with a migrational disorder. And essentially what that is in utero, when cells split and migrate, they go to where they're supposed to go. And in Rosie's case, there were a couple of cells that didn't migrate to the area in her brain where they were supposed to go. And, you know, after lots and lots of tests and different doctors, we found out where they didn't go to. And I think there was literally two cells that didn't go to where they needed to go. And it affected ultimately her muscles. She's low muscle tone. She has difficulty with speech and difficulty controlling her eyes. And the way I describe her best, I think, for anybody to understand, is her input is totally there. She understands everything. She knows what's going on. She, you know, the same as anybody else, but her problem is, or her difficulty is, the output. Walking unassisted or speaking unassisted or controlling her eyes, things like that.
Man, we are very similar, man. My daughter is almost exact same way. Different diagnosis, but similar kind of functionality, right? She understands everything. It's trying to communicate and express herself and get around and move. That's a challenge. So you had connected with Isaac to work together as business partners years before Rosie was born, right?
Correct. Yeah. I got lucky, essentially. We had mutual friends who ended up going to college and together at University of Arizona. I don't know if that's better than Arizona State or Arizona State better than U of A, but
you know the answer to that.
But Isaac's friend ended up moving to Los Angeles, where I'm from, and he and I became roommates. And luckily, Isaac came over to our house one day and I met him.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear more about this and how you guys came together and started your business. We're going to get right into that when we come back on Driven by Purpose. Welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser, the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation. The Inspiration Foundation is kind of what I want to focus on right now, Mike. Your daughter, Rosie, she's almost 12 years old. Like my daughter, she deals with some disabilities, some challenges, some physical challenges based on her condition. My question for you is, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about the Clean Logic and how Isaac was inspired by his mom, who was blind since the age of 7. And then you have a daughter several years into your working relationship with Isaac. And at some point you guys decide to really make it an initiative to start hiring more people with disabilities and to make your factories and your facilities more accessible to people of all abilities. I assume that Rosie was a huge part of that. Can you expand on that a little bit?
I'd even go back a little further. When we first started the Inspiration Foundation and we were donating adaptive technology awards, in the back of my mind, I always thought about, why don't we just create jobs? Why don't we just create jobs? And then fast forward, now I have a daughter and she's disabled, and it became real to me, and understanding like what the future looks like for her, I knew that I needed to figure out a way to start creating jobs for people with disabilities, ultimately, selfishly, to give her the best place to work where she can be independent and successful. And that's literally how it happened.
So what's the next step then? So you have this idea, then you go to Isaac and you say, okay, we got to figure this out.
Yeah. So, you know, it was interesting. It had always been part of our conversations. You know, me having a disabled daughter, like it's your part of your life. And so I think normal is something, it's key to this story. And as my daughter started getting older and she started using, you know, things like a walker or an AAC device, I started to realize my life is, my home life, my normal life is accessible. Accessibility is a big part of it. And what I started realizing was if my home life is accessible, why can't my business life be accessible? So those conversations started to happen. And then we all put together a plan and let's start hiring people with disabilities. And early on, we started working with Overbrook School of the Blind. It's a school for blind people in Philadelphia. And that was the first time that we hired anybody with a disability, and they happened to be blind and visually impaired. And it was we didn't know what we were doing, but it was, I think we all were so passionate about it that we just started asking questions and figuring it out and making changes and making adjustments. And it became a huge part of our culture. And now it's what we do.
I would love to just jump in here for a second, because what you'll learn about Mike and I is what we've heard a lot, we're the yin and yang of how we work together. So I'm sales and marketing, he's operations. So I really think what's really helped with this whole piece is him and I have been able to respect each other's side of what we own on the business. But I think the success really came from Mike's drive of operations excellent and even being told no. And I think that's why our partnership has always been a really strong one, is because I've always had a big vision, but in the end of the day, you got to execute it, you got to deliver it. And it's just what I've always seen with him and why we've gotten along together is building this facility and our Assembled in USA initiative with individuals with disabilities took that vision and operations excellence, because if it was me doing it, we probably would miss A to Z and we probably wouldn't have been executing on it.
You guys have already put in resources and things to cater to people with disabilities. And then Mike comes to you and says, I want to expand on that because I want to make this a place that my daughter can come and work at some point. Was there any resistance from people in the company? Like, well, how did you get that to implement that, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think something about our company, and I think this is also true for any company where there's a purpose. When you have the right people in your company, they're 100% behind what you do. And I think when we started talking about, let's open our doors and start making jobs for people with disabilities, our team like got behind it 100%, no resistance. It was always questions of, what else can we do? How can we do it right? How can we do it better? And it became literally magic, and everybody supported it. And that's why I believe it became successful. And we didn't have the answers. We had to ask the people that we hired, how can we make this better? How can it become more accessible? What do you need? It was about, you know, finding out what accommodations people needed. And nothing was impossible. Nothing was cost prohibitive. Nothing was things that are like, oh, there's no way we can make this happen. It was always, you know, we have a fundamental called find a way, and we always found a way to do it, but it was the team that was able to figure it out and do it. So, you know, and it continues. When we first started doing our office, our first workers were people who were blind or visually impaired. And one of the things that they suggested is put some high visibility tape on the floor and lead it to where we need to go, to our workstations, to the break room, to the bathroom. And that became, put some wire underneath the raised tape, so anybody that's blind and uses a cane can follow along and know where they need to go with the cane.
Great.
Simple stuff. We had an issue where there's a door that goes from our office into the warehouse. And one of our visually impaired workers said, why don't you put a bell by the door so that we can, when you're coming in and out, you ring it. And everybody knows, like, hold on, you know, somebody's coming in. We recently just had, you know, prior in our break room, we had tables and chairs that were not fixed. They were, you know, you could move them around. And every time that you would move them around, somebody who's blind or visually impaired would have to relearn the area. So
you
now
don't
we have,
of, you don't think
you
about
don't think
stuff.
About it, but you ask, you have to ask. And listen, tape doesn't cost anything. A couple dollars. Wire, it doesn't cost anything. We had, you know, we were teaching to make some of our products, our exfoliating stretch cloth. You have to sew the ends of it. And part of what we wanted to do was bring that back here and get some value-added services to that. And so we asked our team, can you, to our blind and visually impaired team members, can you sew? And they said, let's try. And so we brought in sewing machines and taught them how to operate the sewing machines. And we said, how can we make this, you know, what do we need to do to make it easier? And so our visually impaired team member said, put a magnifying glass in front of it. Okay. So we put a we fixed the magnifying glass to the top of the sewing machine. These are all very simple things. It's not like massive technology. It's just the desire and
my takeaways from that, Mike, is that you guys took the time, which was, you know, a couple minutes here and there, to actually engage with your staff and took the time to listen to them, which not enough people in management do. Sit down and listen and say, hey, how do I make this better for you? And then your employees feel heard, they feel appreciated. And I feel like that results in what?
Loyalty, right? And you create this culture that people love to come to work. And when you see all these people in your office, in your facility that are happy and wanting to be there, it's contagious. Right. And so it goes around the entire office, whether you're disabled or you're not disabled. And then on top of that, like you need to, like, it's more than just creating an environment. Like for us, it's always been about how do we make sure that somebody that works at our company is taken care of? Just because you're disabled doesn't mean you should get paid less. Right. We want to make sure that everybody that starts at our company starts at the same wage, regardless of ability, livable wage, insurance, benefits, like it doesn't matter. And so when we started to put all these things together and create this business, now you've got people that, again, want to be there. It's not just that we're giving them magnifying glasses or tape to get around, but you're giving them something that allows them, and this is our purpose, to live independent and successful lives.
So one thing I know about the special needs community is that the word travels fast when
Absolutely.
Something good happens and when something bad happens.
100%.
Something bad happens, everybody knows, hey, man, this happened here. But when something good happens, like you're building your facilities to accommodate everybody, I imagine that more people are applying to work there, that more people are becoming aware of your products. Like, what was that like once word started getting out about?
I think what's even more important is when we hired our group, we have 29 individuals that we've hired through this production. So when you look at our total employment in the US, 40% of our workforce disclosed they had a disability. When we took a survey at the end of the year in 2024, 54% disclosed. So not only did we have our workforce that we knew who came from agencies that disclosed, we also made other people that had a non-visible disability disclose. So I think that's what we really are talking about.
They felt more comfortable because people that don't disclose are usually afraid of some, you know, possible negative consequences of that. But in your situation, you created an environment that made everybody feel so comfortable with it that more people felt comfortable going, you know, publicly talking about it.
One of the most important things in any company is psychological safety. And creating psychological safety in any company is just a massive, like, shot in the arm for culture. And culture is huge. And so, like, for me, my job, like, my number one thing is to build the best company to work for and to be able to have people who feel safe in my company is, like, for me, it's a blessing. And it means that we're doing something right. And continue to expand on that. So,
all right. So look, what you guys have built has been really, really impressive. And obviously it comes from these personal experiences that you guys have each had. My question now is, so what's next? I know we've talked about the Inspiration Foundation and the SEAL.
Why don't you guys tell our listeners a little bit more about that and what they can expect from those initiatives?
When we were creating the Inspiration Foundation, we knew that what we had at Clean Logic needed to be recreated and passed on to so many other companies out there so that they could begin hiring people with disabilities. And that's how we knew we'd be able to accomplish our goal of increasing employment within the disabilities community by 10%. And what we realized from our experience was we needed to teach people how to do it, because not everybody's going to be like us and ask the questions that we ask. And not everybody has a daughter who's disabled and a mother who's disabled. So for us, it became about creating a playbook and giving it out and allowing people to implement that in their companies and so on and continue that growth. And so that's, for us, what the Inspiration has evolved into and the purpose of the Inspiration Seal.
And when we come back, we're going to hear more about that, because I want to hear how we can, number one, if people are listening and they want to get involved in this program and join the initiative and help their own businesses hire more people with disabilities. We're going to hear more about that when we come back on Driven by Purpose. Welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Esser. Speaking of the Inspiration Foundation, which is the mission to help companies hire more people with disabilities, if a person listening to this, whether they're a CEO or an entrepreneur or just an ally, somebody who wants to help be a part of the mission to get companies to hire more people with disabilities, what's the first step that somebody listening should do right now, you guys?
Go right to our website, inspirationfoundation.org, and that's where you can check out some links, information on what we're doing, and reach out directly to us if you're interested in getting some help and being inspired to hire individuals with disabilities.
Yeah, one thing that I've learned just by listening to both of you is that there are a ton of resources out there that people don't know about. I had no idea that the state of Pennsylvania will actually help you find qualified candidates and even supplement some of the costs that go along with training people with disabilities up. I didn't know that. And I feel like if more people knew that, they would take advantage of these programs that are designed to be taken advantage of. There are good programs out there. Look, we have a lot more to share on Driven by Purpose. We are just scratching the surface. Our mission out here is to help people of all abilities, from all walks of life to, you know, do good, to help find their purpose, pursue their purpose, and actually, you know, take action to do something that's more satisfying, just like Mike and Isaac have done, just like I've done. You'll hear my story on the next episode of Driven by Purpose. We'll see you then.